Can good people go to hell? It's a good question. It's an important question. And it's one in which we need to discuss, one which we need to investigate so that we make sure that we are doing those things which God has put forth in His Word so that we might not go to hell. In 2005, a BeliefNet Newsweek poll was conducted, and over 1,000 randomly selected American adults were asked about their religious beliefs. One of the questions asked was, can a good person who is not of your religious faith go to heaven or attain salvation or not? Again, the question that was asked, can a good person who isn't of your religious faith go to heaven or attain salvation or not? And the results on this particular question as part of this religious poll were as one might expect given the broad range of people which were asked. Of evangelical Protestants polled, 68% said yes, they can attain heaven. Again, the question is, can a good person who isn't of your religious faith go to heaven or attain salvation or not? The response was 83% of other Protestants saying yes, it is possible. For Roman Catholics, the response was 91% yes, and 73% for non-Christians. Taking all of this together and looking at all of it in aggregate, we see that it equates to about 79% of American population believing that pretty much anyone of any religious faith can attain heaven. I guess if they are right, then anyone can believe anything, so long as they're sincere, and go to heaven, according to them. I am sure that all the people surveyed fully understood the question, fully understood that this particular question was relative to good people. This then requires that we ask another question. The question then would be, what or who is a good person? You look around this world today, you see many, many good things being done. Many wonderful things. Things that are helpful to other people. Things that benefit other people. There are those who are billionaires who have challenged other billionaires to give of their monies to help other people. To do so because it is a good thing to do. I can't imagine being in a situation where I have billions of dollars. There's no way in the world a person or a family could spend that much money. Why not help other people with it and be good? But does that define a good person? We also need to realize and understand that the definition of good person is different from the world's standpoint than it is when you look to God's standpoint. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, we find that according to the Bible and the teachings that are in the Bible, that none would fall under the category of a good person, because it tells us there, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, we must fully understand that the definition of good person is not one who has sinned, because all sin. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20, we'll see that the fact that all have sinned is not just something that has taken place in the New Testament age. The Ecclesiastes writer was directed by the Spirit to write, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We know that from the time that man first sinned, sin has been among us. And it seems to afflict everyone. Now, differing degrees. Some folks sin more than others. Some don't care that they sin. Some folks repent of their sins and seek fellowship with God. But the question that we are dealing with is, can good people go to hell? In Isaiah chapter 64, verses 5 and 6, we see that Isaiah writes, thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned. The voice of the people there. We have sinned. In those is continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousness were as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. If we look at the question, who or what is a good person, we must establish by whose definition we will deal with it. Kind of brings up another question. Can anyone, good or otherwise, get to heaven without Christ? I think that is a valid question. We know that Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 tells us that there are some things that if we do not have it, it's impossible to be pleasing to God. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And many religious people will go, aha, I've been telling you this for years. All you have to do is have faith. Well, that's not what James says. The devils believe and tremble. And furthermore, I know that the devils not only believe, but they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But they tremble. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus settled this particular question when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We know that the Father is in heaven, and that's where we are aspiring to go. That's where we should desire to go. And it's the opposite of the question of our sermon, can good people go to hell? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, to put it into the New Testament age, tells us that there is no salvation in any other place. That there is no other name under heaven given whereby we might be saved. In fact, it says neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There are those who are seeking to be good in the religious world and not looking to Christ. Can they go to heaven? Well, not according to the Word of God. Jesus himself in John chapter 8, verse 24, stated that ye shall die in your sins if you do not believe. He said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now he was speaking to those Jews who would ultimately have a problem with the fact that the Messiah came, but he didn't come the way they wanted him to come. They didn't provide what they wanted him to provide, nor in the way in which they wanted it provided. And therefore they said, no, we're not going to believe in you. Oh, you're a good guy. You're powerful. Even Nicodemus said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Because no one could do those things which Jesus had done unless he had been sent from God. But they were not ready to believe that he is he. That has continued even till now. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1 tells us this. That there would be those who would deny. There would be those in religious settings who would deny that Jesus was the Christ. Or that he had come. There were false prophets also among the people. Even as there shall be false teachers among you who probably shall bring in damnable heresies. Even denying the Lord that bought them. And bring upon themselves swift destruction. Can anyone, good or otherwise, go to heaven without Christ? The answer is absolutely not. In fact, Jesus himself told us that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, we'll see that Jesus, in talking to these people, knew that there would be many people who would try to provide lip service, who would try to find some other way to be part of the kingdom, which John proclaimed, the kingdom is at hand, which Jesus himself said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was not here yet. The time was not where one could be part of it. And so Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. There are many good people in the world who do not read and study the Bible. How can those good people who do not read and study the Bible go to heaven not knowing how to get there? It's an interesting question. They will seek sometimes to do it in a number of ways, a variety of ways. Perhaps they will ask some preacher, pick a preacher, any preacher, ask him what it is that a person must do in order to go to heaven. Depending upon the preacher that you ask, you get a different answer. Some will tell you, do you believe in Jesus? Oh, yes. And they'll say, hallelujah, saved another one. You're on your way to heaven. False hope is exactly what that is. But according to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, we'll find out that there is only one body. Those who say, Lord, Lord, those who claim to call upon the name of the Lord or invoke the name of the Lord and are outside of that one body are lost. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6 says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. It's not that hard to understand. It's not that hard to read. It's not that hard to comprehend. And then people will say, it doesn't matter which church you're part of. Oftentimes, I'm on the highway, I'll read what's on the back of semis. Not the stuff people scratch on with their finger, by the way, but the signs that people have put there. And a few years back, there was a fleet of trucks, and every one of their trucks had a big sign. It covered about half of the door. It said, attend the church of your choice on Sunday. Well, that's problematic. Because Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6 says there is one body. It ought to have rather said, attend the church that Jesus died for on Sunday. Much better advice. The point is, it's like those who in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, the Lord somewhat rebuked. He questioned them. He said, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? There was another time in which Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. And we know that the direction or the instruction that he gave, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And the words that he spoke were the words given to him of the Spirit that came from God. And then he says to these people, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? I don't know why we should be surprised that people are that way. Even when God spoke directly to the people, they didn't do what God said. And you say, well, give me an example. Take Adam and Eve. Let's go all the way back to the beginning. They knew who God was. They knew it without a doubt. They didn't do what God said. When God spoke directly to Moses and told him, take this law and write it down on the people. In the 40 days it took for him to receive this law and to take it back to the people, they had already separated themselves. They'd already begun to involve themselves in all sorts of wickedness. And they'd already broken a lot of the commandments that he was bringing to them. Jesus said also in Luke chapter 13, verses 24 and 25, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Why? It's because they're trying to come some other way. It's because they're trying to say, Lord, Lord, please accept me. He says, when once the master of the house has risen up and hath shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. so many people say, "Lord, Lord." Don't do what the Lord says. They just call upon Him. According to 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, we know how we know Him. The same way in which we know we love Him. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." But in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, He said, "And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, 'I know Him,' and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, whereby we know that we are in Him." Not everyone that saith, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. So we ask ourselves, good people in other religious bodies, can they go to hell? Yes, they can. Because they're not doing the things that God said to do. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, we see Paul writing to Timothy is directed by the Spirit. And he said, "If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." We understand it when it comes to athletics. We understand it when it comes to a number of different things, that you have to follow the law in order to receive the prize. You don't jump in a marathon at mile 25 and everybody else has already run 25 miles and sprint to the end and say, "Hey, give me the prize." It doesn't work that way. The same thing is true in our lives. We can't live our lives like the world and then expect God, in all of His wonderful mercy, to say, "Well, that's okay. You didn't understand." Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," well, then who is it that can go to heaven? According to Jesus, "But he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven." That seems to me to be pretty plain. There are a number of different things that we can look at. Let's look at some of the things that go along with the plan of salvation. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we are making the proclamation upon which the very foundation of Christianity is established. Yes, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I believe that, knowing that He died upon Calvary's cross and that He did so that I and all others who believe and obey can be saved. It says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Jesus, in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, told us how necessary it is for us to repent. Repent means to turn away. We cannot continue to live in our sinful state. We must turn away from it, turn toward God. That's doing the will of God. He says, "I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." There are those who often question whether or not it is absolutely necessary to be baptized in order to be saved. Do you know that the will of God is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance? And if they were not going to perish, we have to be baptized. Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And many people will say, "Well, I don't understand what this is." We see that being born in water is baptism. Being born of water and of the Spirit is baptism. And it takes place as one is being obedient. If we need additional, perhaps more direct instruction from God, let's turn to Mark 16 and verse 16. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." But He also made sure that we could understand the negative side of that. "But he that believeth not shall be damned." We've got to do the will of God. We've got to do what he has said to do in his word in Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 38. We see the reaction of the people. They had heard the gospel preached, and they had come together because of the sound of the rushing mighty wind and the tongues of fire upon these apostles. And once they had their attention and had the opportunity to preach to them the gospel, it tells us in verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Peter said unto them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.'" I guarantee you that all of those people, on the day of Pentecost, and from that time until now, who have earnestly, sincerely come forward and been baptized into Christ, were good people. They were seeking to do what was good. They were seeking to do that which was the will of God. They were not only just saying, "Lord, Lord," and they understood fully that they could not get into heaven without Christ. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 tells us, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." In other words, all of those who were obedient to the gospel were being added to the church. This brings up another question. Can a saved soul forfeit salvation? Perhaps a soul can be like something that stays in the refrigerator too long. It sits there dormant, and it begins to spoil, and it becomes dirty, and it's no good for anything but to be cast out. There are those who would preach and teach that once a person is saved, they don't have to worry about anything. They got it made. That's not what the Bible teaches. Therefore, can a saved soul forfeit salvation is a very good question relative to our original question, can good people go to hell? Can a saved soul forfeit salvation? Absolutely. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 and 27, tells us, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." To put it into the context, these Hebrews were being tempted into going back under the old law where there was no sacrifice for sins. He said, if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, in other words, if they return back to the old law, there is no more sacrifice for sins, because the blood of Christ, even though it had been shed, did not apply to those who wanted to live under the law. It says what is expected is a certain fearful looking forward of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Can a saved soul forfeit salvation? Yes, they can. They can become an adversary of God by no longer doing those things that God would have us do. In James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, we'll see words there that help us to understand that, yes, a saved soul can forfeit salvation. "Brethren, if any of you," who's he talking to? Christians. "If any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins." In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, we have a passage which shows without a doubt that a person can escape sin and then be mired down within it again. "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." These are those who have heard the truth, who have believed the truth, who have obeyed the truth, and in so doing become children of God. "If they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein." Therein where? Within the pollutions of the world. "If they are entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning." What was their beginning condition? What was their beginning situation? They were lost. And yes, they're lost if they allow themselves to be entangled once again in sin. But the latter end is worse with them than the beginning, because they knew the truth. because they had the opportunity to love the Lord and be continually obedient to Him. Well, then comes our final and obvious question. Who then will be saved? We're saying that good people can be sent to hell. We're saying that good people can become saved people, and then as a result of sin, again become lost people. So who's going to be saved? Do we have a chance? Do we have a hope? In Matthew chapter 19, verse 24 through 26, we'll see words of Jesus which would serve to confuse his disciples. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard it, they were exceeding amazed and said, who can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Who could be saved? Not those who place their trust in riches. That's what Jesus was talking about. With God all things are possible. God has given us a plan. He's given us the means whereby we might be saved. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 and following, we have a statement made and a question, or several questions. We see as Peter is writing in this general epistle, he's trying to get the brethren to understand and realize that we must continue in our salvation. We must continue in the truth. He says, for it, the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. We sum it up by the words of Jesus Christ in John chapter 8, verse 51. There, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now, we all know that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Therefore, every one of us are going to either die, or we're going to be changed at the coming of the Lord. The death that he was talking about would be eternal condemnation. Can good people go to hell? Yes, they can. You can go to heaven. But it takes more than just being good. It takes more than just being pleasant. It takes more than just not doing something bad towards someone else. Even good people who have not obeyed the gospel as put forth by God in his word can and will find themselves consigned to eternity in hell. It's a sad, sad situation. The truth of the matter is, it's a situation that has caused a lot of people to turn away from religion. What? You mean my sainted grandmother is not going to make it? I can't answer that. I'm not her judge. I didn't write the law whereby she could be saved, so I don't know if she followed it. And it's not my place to judge. But I do know one thing, that you can be a good person and not make it to heaven. But you can also be a good person and make it to heaven. What divides the two? What separates the two? Well, the good people who are going to heaven have been obedient to God's word. The Bible tells us what we must do in order to be obedient. It tells us that we must hear the word, believe in Jesus Christ, repent of our sins, confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be baptized into Christ. And then we must live faithfully until death. It's not a hard plan to comprehend. Many find it hard to follow. But what we don't want to do is find ourselves at the close of this life being a good person, having wasted this life. Spurn the opportunity that God has given us so that we might spend eternity with Him. Again, let me read 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. So that we might understand that those who are children of God, those who are good people and children of God because they have been obedient, must continue to be obedient. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Perhaps tonight, if you're here, you've never heard this before. You want to hear more about it, we'll be glad to talk to you. Perhaps you fully understand and you want to be obedient to the gospel. We're going to assist you in that here momentarily. But perhaps you're here and you have been obedient to the gospel, and for whatever reason, you've allowed sin to reign in your life. And now realize your lost condition, even having once become a child of God. What are you to do? According to Acts chapter 8, verse 22, you are to repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Don't leave here tonight a good person headed for hell. If we can help you, we want you to come now, as together we stand and sing the invitation song.